the sermon is from the gospel text, which we just heard from John. And I'd like to begin with a question. And the question is this: whose glory are you after? Basically, you have two choices, either the glory of man or the glory that comes from God. Now, for the Christian, that's an easy question to answer. We want the glory of God. And to get that glory, Jesus is pretty clear. Believe in the light, and you will be called a son of light. Believe in Jesus, the glorified one, and you will have the glory of God. Sounds fantastic, and it is. If you want God's glory, look to Christ, the glorified one, and there you will find it. But I also think you should know, Christian, what it means to have the glory of God that comes by faith in Jesus. Contrary to what some might tell you, seeking the glory that comes from God is not an automatic ticket to earthly wealth, treasures, and blessings. Scripture makes no such promise. And seeking the glory of God by believing in the light is not as easy as it sounds. Why not, Pastor? Well, because faith is never alone. When there is the darkness of evil that Jesus warns us about. And make no mistake, that darkness wants to snuff out the light. All of which makes having faith anything but an easy matter. To get an idea of what it means to be glorified by God, we need to look at the glorified one. Now, we know today is Palm Sunday, the day we remember and celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, where he is met by crowds raising palm branches and saying those words, Hosanna. Save us now, in other words. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now, in most Bibles, the title of this episode in Scripture is the triumphant entry. Jesus, our God, our Lord, and our King, makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey. In today's text, we hear that it is shortly before the Passover celebration when Greeks, not Jews, Greeks, in other words, Gentiles, come to Jesus. They want to see this Lord of glory. A reminder to us that the gospel of salvation does go beyond the bounds of Israel into all parts of the globe. Now, when these Greeks come to Philip and Andrew and they go to Jesus, our Lord responds this way. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, if the narrative stopped right there, we might be thinking that Jesus is talking about something out of this world, maybe another transfiguration episode. Perhaps he's referring to his resurrection from the tomb or his ascension into heaven. But as we hear the following verses, we find that's not the case. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verses 25 and 26, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone hates me, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Suddenly, seeking the glory of God doesn't sound quite so appealing. The glorified one, our Savior Jesus, is indeed our triumphant King. But how he will be glorified, our Lord Jesus is clear. The glory he is talking about is the glory at his death. Am I saying there is glory in the crucifixion? Absolutely I am. But before we begin speaking about how there is glory in Good Friday, we mustn't pass over Jesus' words when he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Hear that again, because it's important. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Following Jesus means being where Jesus is. Now, in the historical context of the gospel, remember, Jesus says these words in the presence of his disciples before he is arrested and put on trial. The disciples are still around. You might even remember Peter's bold words when he tells Jesus, quote, I will never fall away. and his disciples said the same. They had every intention of following Jesus every step of the way, being where he is, going where he goes. But we'll hear this Holy Week that as soon as Jesus is arrested, put on trial, and taken to the cross, the disciples flee. "I don't know the man." That's how Peter replies. The great Peter denies knowledge of his Savior. "I don't know the man," when he's questioned about his affiliation with this Jesus of Nazareth. So much for never falling away. So much for sticking by Jesus' side until the very end. When the shepherd is struck, the sheep scatter. A lesson for us followers of Jesus, who have no problem following Jesus when he takes us into times of plenty, pay raises, good health, worldly praise, growing economy, booming stock market. Ha! Following Jesus in those times isn't that difficult. But when the Lord of glory, Christian, takes you into times of suffering, times of affliction, times of persecution because you bear the name of Jesus, then how well do you follow? What is your faith like when tested against the forces of darkness in this world and at work in ourselves? What about when chasing the glory of man does seem like a better deal than seeking the glory that comes from God? Then how well do you follow? Following Jesus may seem like a picnic. It may seem easy and desirable until you think about some of the places where the Lord our God in his infinite wisdom, mercy, and love might take you. It may be to a place that you do not want to go. I say this not to scare you, but to warn you that loving the glory that comes from God may bring some persecution in your life. You may suffer more than the next person. The darkness hates the light, so wherever the light is, the darkness is never far behind. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. You follow Jesus by faith. A faith he gives, a faith he upholds by his divine word. Don't be afraid. That darkness that is so bad and powerful, that darkness that is antagonistic against the light, has already been overcome. As the gospel reading says, "The ruler of this world has been cast out. His time is short. Defeat is already at hand." And now we can get into talking about how there is glory at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the crucifixion of our Lord is glorious because amidst the bloodshed, crying, and death, we can see through faith our Savior atoning for and conquering all the sins of creation. On the cross, we see the devil's accusations and his threats, the law's condemnation and conviction of sinners rendered useless by blood. That's right. The holy, innocent blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who has forever made sufficient payment for your sins and my sins. That is godly glory. That is your access to the fullness of God's glory, yours to behold when he takes you to forever dwell in his heavenly courts, in Jesus' crucifixion. He is glorified as the innocent lamb who takes away the sins of the world so that you, Christian, can be innocent, righteous, forgiven, an heir to the kingdom of God. "Where I am, there will my servant be also." Where Christ is, so are you. You have Christ in his holy word. You encounter Christ when taking the Lord's Supper. You get what he says, and that is his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You are so close to your Savior that he calls his church, his body of believers, his body. Scripture says you are united to Jesus by faith in John 10. The good shepherd says he has his sheep in his hands, and no one snatches them from him. where he is, so are you. You live in Christ, Christian, when you have that faith that unites and reconciles you to him. And to get more specific, there are two events in Jesus' life that scriptures say you are united to. Two events, his death and his resurrection. And where that connection or that union takes place to the death and resurrection of Jesus, scripture is also clear. It's in the waters of holy baptism. Recall these words from Romans, quote, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Death and resurrection. Two events in the life of our Lord that the Christian is united to in the waters of baptism, a glorious promise that is yours only by faith. Now you might ask, Pastor, why would I want to be united to the death of Jesus? Why would I want to be buried with Jesus into death? Why is that a promise I would ever want? On this Good Friday, we'll hear about all the grisly, gory details of our Savior's suffering and death while hanging on a tree. Crown of thorns, lashings across the back, spear in the side. Why would we want to be united to the death, the crucifixion of Jesus? Why even go to the Good Friday service? For those of you who have been attending the Wednesday midweek services, you know we've been going through the book of Galatians, a glorious epistle written by the Apostle St. Paul. And in that book, St. Paul makes two statements talking about the Christian united to the crucifixion of Jesus. And they are important. He says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Second, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Baptism, you see, into the crucifying death of Jesus. It is a good thing, friends, because it means your flesh, complete with its sinful desires and passions, have been put to death in the crucifixion of Jesus. Another way of saying, in Jesus' death, sin is killed. Even death itself is killed by his blood to grant you life eternal. Being united to the crucifixion of Jesus, friends, is a promise, meaning the death to your sinful nature. It cannot condemn you. And that leads us into the resurrection of Jesus that we are united to. And just as Jesus kills sin at the cross by his death, his resurrection confirms to the world his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that resurrection, that new life, free from sin, free from symptoms of sin, free from tears, suffering, and death, is yours. Yours in Christ. A union given to you in the waters of holy baptism. A promise you live in every day by faith. And it goes without saying that you need such a promise every day. That is what it means, Christian, to be glorified by God. And it is a glory, nothing like that of the world, and it's a glory that comes from God that is yours, not just when life is going your way or when life throws you a bone, no. You have this glory by living in Christ by faith, where indeed the sinful nature is crucified, and the new man daily emerges to live in righteousness and purity before God forever. So go in peace. Go in Christ. Go in the glory of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.